Well, great to see you all again. I think next time I come, we're celebrating Palm Sunday. But we're kind of doing things in reverse a bit. We're traversing through John's Gospel through Holy Week. But of course, the story we have today is one of the ones towards the end, because it's about Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and from there he goes to Gethsemane, and things happen quite quickly after that, of course. But we're starting with him washing his disciples' feet. Can you all see something? Okay. So at the heart of what we're exploring today is this, the claim in John's Gospel that having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The full extent of his love. Signs can be very, very powerful. John's Gospel tells us of many signs, the miracles that Jesus did that pointed to who he was and why he had really come to our world. They were the miraculous signs, turning water into wine, giving sight to the blind man, raising Lazarus from the dead. Powerful signs that enabled us to glimpse the reality of who Jesus was. But there are other signs in John's Gospel which are not miraculous, but which are equally potent in helping us enter into the heart of what God was doing in Jesus. At the beginning of John's Gospel, he goes to cleanse the temple. And that shows us why Jesus was coming, because the temple was the center of the Jewish faith. And Jesus came to cleanse the heart of God's people, but also to break it open. Because as he tells us there, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And of course, the story then gets tied up between the temple of his body and that physical temple in Jerusalem. And that although he cleanses the temple, even though they destroy his body, it will be restored in the resurrection. And when I come again, all being well, for Palm Sunday, there'll be another sign, won't there, about him entering into Jerusalem on a donkey to show what kind of king he was, to allow us to see the heart of God at work. And every time we gather at the Lord's table, we're reminded of another of the signs that Jesus gave us, the bread and the wine standing for his body and his blood that he would give for the redemption of the world. And here we today are looking at a further sign that Jesus gets. Nothing miraculous about it. Very mundane. Very ordinary in many ways. But a powerful sign into the very heart of Jesus. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Now. Yes, he's going to show it through the act of washing the disciples' feet. That's now. But the now is an extended now, because it's from now to the end of the gospel. It's through Holy Week. It's to the cross, because it is there, above everywhere else, that he shows his disciples the full extent of his love for them. And the full extent is a fascinating phrase, because it's something about the quality of his love, but it could also be translated, he loved them to the very end. As the nails were being driven into his hands, he loved them. as he felt the weight of sin separating him from God and cried out, my God, why are you forsaking me? He was showing them the full extent of his love. He loved them right to the end. There was no breaking point, so he could say, it is finished. I've completed the work that God has sent me here to do. He now showed them the full extent of his love, but he also showed them in this now, in this moment, when he took a towel and washed the disciples' feet. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. But how did he do that? How would you like someone to show you the full extent of their love? What would count most in your mind, in your imagination? What would impress you most about the way someone might say, I love you, and I'm going to show it to you? I wonder what you'd like. I understand the diamonds are a girl's best friend. I wouldn't know that. Is that how you'd like someone to show you their deepest love? By giving you diamond, not just a diamond ring, but a diamond necklace with a big diamond pendant. Maybe you have less ambition and a pamper day would do. I can't understand that any more than I can understand about diamonds, but then you wouldn't expect a man. This would be more in my line. If anybody wants to show me their full extent of their love, I'm open to offers at the end of the service. Do you want me to come round then? Can't even read what that. Oh yes, I can see now. I think this is probably what my wife would really like, a garden makeover. Well, all of these are possible ways we could show others the extent of our love, and depending on who we are, they're things we might want and value and would feel really, really loved if any of these things happened. But do you know what? I think that might be even more telling, mightn't it? That if somebody needed a kidney donation because otherwise they were going to die, if we were willing to give a kidney, to give them life, wouldn't that be a sign of our love? Something that really cost us, that put our lives at risk, wouldn't that say more than diamonds? Or a new car? How could we show the full extent of our love? Well, this is what Jesus did. He served them, he showed them, and he saved them. Here are three different images of artists' impressions of Jesus washing disciples' feet. Each has something to say to us, I think, so just take a moment to have a look at them. The one on the left is pouring beautifully clean water into a shallow basin, but he's also kneeling in the dirt. Don't miss that. And in order for Jesus to wash his disciples' feet, he needed to get in the dirt. Then the one on the right-hand side, I suppose that's perhaps more how we imagine it. There is Jesus stripped naked. Doesn't actually say that. It just says he took off his outer garment, and I'll come back to that in a moment. But there he is, kneeling washing the feet. And all the disciples are goggle-eyed, aren't they? Looking on, amazed. And I wonder what it was like for those disciples in that room. Jesus, having poured out the water, knelt in the dirt floor. Who did he invite first? Or who volunteered first? And you can imagine, can't you, all the other disciples, all kinds of things racing through their minds, like, what's it going to feel like when he takes my feet? Or even, as we know how jealous and envious the disciples can be, I wonder why he's got him first. But they're looking on intently, trying to make sense of what Jesus was doing, because he was serving them. See, washing feet was not a pleasant thing to do. You have to understand the state of the roads. We complain about potholes. Well, if you don't, I do. Every time I go over one, every time I drive down the M69 and nearly lose a tyre going in one of those amazing ruts that have been created, I worry about the potholes. But their roads were different. They would probably have 2 or 3 inches of dust. Well, that is until it rains. And what happened to the dust when it rained? Mud. And I'm afraid the disciples didn't have nice long boots. They had very open sandals. So what do you think happens to your feet when you go poddling through mud? They get filthy. Look at the state of our cars up and down the motorway, what the salt has done to them. It was worse for their feet. And of course, it's what was in the mud that made it even less pleasant. They didn't have bins to put their waste in, you see. So when you'd finished eating your leg of lamb or apple, you just threw it down, didn't you? There was nothing else to do with it. And it wasn't just dogs that wandered through the streets. There were mules and donkeys and cattle and sheep. So by the time you'd finished wading through all that all day, your feet were in a right mess. And that's why it was only the lowest servants who were allowed to wash the guests' feet. If you were a Jewish slave or servant, you were freed from the responsibility of ever having to wash people's feet. It was such a foul thing to do, but such an important thing to do. And the disciples had come along to this meal, prepared for them. They'd come into the room, all eyes perhaps on the food that was on the table. And they'd missed something very important when they entered the room. They'd missed a bowl and a big jug of water that had been placed there so they could wash Jesus' feet. Because none of them wanted to serve Jesus, let alone one another. But do not underestimate the shock of Jesus washing their feet. It was all wrong. The master shouldn't wash the feet. The rabbi shouldn't wash the feet. Others should wash his, because he was the honored guest. But Jesus took off his outer garment
and took a towel and washed the disciples' feet. Staggering, amazing, completely inappropriate for anyone but the Son of God. Because God can only show us his full reality, the full extent of his love, by breaking the rules, by doing what he shouldn't do, by revealing the humility of the Godhead. And this is the incredible way in which Jesus, serving by washing his disciples' feet, is actually showing us so much about the full extent of God's love for us. You see, what it's really telling us is that no matter how we've messed up, no matter how much a failure we feel, no matter how we think of ourselves now because we've lost our energy and our capacity to do very much for God, no matter what state we are in, however vulnerable, however frail, however futile we might even think our lives to be, God wants to take the dirtiest, messiest, most appalling part of us and say to us, I love you this much. He took off his outer garment, the garment which kind of gave him the status of a rabbi. He took that off to show them his love. And he would take off the outer garment of his humanity on the cross, because only so could he show them how much he loved them.
But a bit more of that later. I don't know whether they still do it, but on Maundy Thursday at Coventry Cathedral, they used to go through this foot-washing ceremony. And one of the members of my congregation when I was at Queen's Road 35 years ago, let's say, was very excited by the thought that she'd been invited to have her feet washed. But before she would go, she went to have a pedicure, didn't she? And we may laugh, but wouldn't most of us want to do the same? I don't want anybody looking at my horrible feet, thank you very much. Least of all, the bishop holding them and looking at them and washing them. So although I might have been somewhat scornful of her immediate reaction, I know I'd do the same, because I don't want Jesus to know what I'm really like. I don't want him to know the worst bit about me. I don't want him to know my dark side. But he insists. You see, he knows it already. And no pedicure we might take will hide from him our reality. But he loves us to the end. He wants to show us the full extent of his love. And right now, by the power of his Spirit, he's taking our feet, the thing we despise about ourselves the most, the things of which we are most ashamed. Right now, by the power of his Spirit, he is taking us. And he is bathing us with his love. Let him take your feet. Let him show you his love. Where you hurt, he wants to heal you. Where you're broken, He wants his tenderness to put you back together. He showed them the full extent of his love by saving them. But he also makes it clear it was more than that. He says in verse 15, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. We can't believe it until we live in a church that his disciples should be squabbling about who was the most important, who was going to have the best place in the kingdom as they traveled towards the cross, as they gathered for that final Passover meal. That was what was uppermost in their minds. Of course, Christian people are never like that, are they? They never want to be noticed. They never want the highest place. They never want the glory, do we? Jesus knew jolly well what is in our hearts. And so he says, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And I guess most of us learn best by doing or having things done for us. I wonder whether a nurse learns what it is to really care for a patient most by going to lectures and looking at videos and listening to podcasts. I'm sure they do all of those now. Is that how they learn? Or do they learn more by being in a hospital bed and being vulnerable and being the tender care, receiving the tender care that they thought they would give to us? That's the way we learn, isn't it? And Jesus knew that. And so he took off his outer garment. He held their feet. He bathed them. He cleansed them. He washed them. He dried them. He touched them with tenderness as he knelt in the dust before them, so they would never ever again forget what it's all about. It's about service, about letting go of ourselves and giving to others what they truly need. And I have a suspicion that next time they were tempted to argue who was superior, their feet would do the talking. Their feet would remind them of what Jesus had said. Yes, he'd done it because they'd failed to do it. He wanted to meet their needs, but in doing so, he was giving them an example to be copied and not to forget. And then finally, he was doing it because he saved them. And this whole act was a signpost towards the cross. He saved them. There was nothing he would not do for them. There was no limit to his love for them. Them. He took Judas's feet and washed them. He took Thomas's feet, who would doubt the resurrection, and washed them. He had a battle on his hands, but he took Peter's feet, who would deny he ever knew him, because he was on the way to the cross. Betrayal. This story is interwoven with the reality of Judas's betrayal. And Jesus washed his feet. Because right to the very end, he was trying to save Judas. Would you do that? But when Judas came to indicate to the soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus looked him in the eyes and said, "Friend, friend." Not the betrayer, a friend. Because he loved him to the end. And when they all fled away and left the women standing at the cross, he loved them. And when Peter denied him, not once, not twice, but three times, even though Peter had said, "I'll go and die with you, I'll never let you down," as Jesus was moved from one courtroom to another, he looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he wept. Because Jesus had taken his feet and washed them. And this same Jesus would go to the cross and die for him. The unjust trial, the torture, the whipping, the crown of thorns, the mockery, the crucifixion, humiliation. Total humiliation, total vulnerability, desertion, and ultimately death. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Do we know it? Do we know the full extent of his love? Will you let him take your feet? All that's rotten in your life, all that you despise yourself for, all that you regret. Will you let him show you the full extent of his love? Or will you keep your boots on? Because you daren't encounter love so amazing, so divine, that it wrecks all your defenses. It tears away the cover-up. It forces you to see yourself as you truly are. That are then embraced with life-giving love. Will you let him show you the full extent of his love? And if we claim that we have experienced the full extent of his love, then what? How can we follow his example? How can we lay down our lives for other people? It's not what we do first. We need to be loved first. Otherwise, it goes wrong. But if we have allowed his arms and powerful love to cleanse us and renew us, then we're called to follow his example. Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing, was his cry from the cross. Who are you not forgiving? There may be nobody. But for most of us, there is somebody that has hurt us so badly. Maybe even as a child we were hurt, and it's still there. How can you expect me to forgive them for that? Maybe something said in church, something in the home, so devastating. But he calls us to forgive. That's our foot washing. And helping somebody might be our foot washing too. It might be doing their garden. It might be doing their shopping. It might be giving them lifts. It could be 1,000 things. Are we prepared to follow his example and do the things other people don't want to do for them? Because that's what his love does. Maybe we just need to accept somebody as they are. Not try and gently or overtly change them and tell them what they should be like, but just sit with them while they pour out their anger or their grief or their desolation or their despair. Just to absorb it. Because sometimes that's what love does. It just listens and accepts. Not only their words, but their pain. So that God's love might reach them. And maybe our role as the foot washers is to pray for people. There's such a huge list, isn't there, on your sheet of people just connected with this church who need to be prayed for. But when I'm talking about prayer as foot washing, I'm not just talking about going home and looking at it after you've had your lunch and a simple prayer. I'm talking about constant prayer. I'm talking about persistent prayer. I'm talking about praying for someone, some situation, day in, day out, night out, until God accomplishes his purpose. It's easy enough to throw a casual prayer up, but to pray like that is like foot washing. It's dealing with somebody's pain and dirt and grief until they're freed by God. We love because he first loved us, and if we know we've been loved with that everlasting love that was shown in the foot washing and on the cross, then we're called to follow his example. So how are you going to show Christ's love to someone else? I want to leave you a minute in quietness so you can ask God to show you who it is and how it is. He wants you to show the love of Jesus to someone else. Holy Spirit, take the word of Scripture. Take the example of Jesus. Take my words. And show us what you're calling us to do. So that we can do as Jesus asked and complete his story.